entertaining talk radio broadcast on the internet. This is HearUsTalk.com, the thing you do with your ears and the place to be.
Hello to all my fans. Thanks for sending me your letters. I really enjoy reading them while setting your fucking houses on fire. Keep your fucking opinions to yourself. I know I'm awesome. Enjoy the DJ New Style Show, you fucking dickheads.
Oh, snap! Yes. Yes! Welcome, welcome, one and all, to your Tuesday night miracle. That's right, this is a fine little podcast known as the DJ New Style Show. Exclusively on Hear Us Talk, that's HearUsTalk.com, the thing you do with your ears and a place to be. A fine network of podcasts that will be expanding soon. More details on that to follow. Probably not today, though. But stay tuned. Anyway, I'm sorry, I don't mean to get ahead of myself here. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for downloading this. Sorry about last week. I apologize. Didn't mean to not have something for you when I said I would. Or should I say that the fault is by your friend and mine, a guy named Steve. Steve, how you doing tonight, buddy? What's going on? You ready to talk?
I'm ready to talk this week.
What happened last week? What happened with you?
New technology, stuff I've never done. The learning curve was too steep. I tried to learn it in too short of a time. Couldn't do it. I figured out how to get myself live, though.
We saw that. It's like when a raccoon gets a hold of a National Geographic camera. It just kind of like fuddles with it with its front paws for a little bit, just kind of licks the screen, and then just runs away and gets drunk and passes out in its basement. We deleted that video just to protect Steve because we want you to think that he's technologically savvy, which you're not, right, Steve?
I am when I'm comfortable with something.
Let's just say when you want to be.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, that's right, yes.
That's also true.
Steve, wow, Sticks is old, like us. He just said, it's 2012. Are you using trumpet windsock or something?
Yeah, I have Soxified.
Nobody...
Soxify this application.
Nobody in the current fucking generation has an idea of what trumpet windsock is. Nor should they.
It was great when it came out, though.
Well, yeah, because it was the only way to do what it allowed you to do. The only way onto the internet. Like the web. Anyway.
It's the web.
What is it? What's MTV.com? Is it cool? What fucking shitty days those were.
You know what I had? I had a book that listed websites and what they were for.
Yeah. Oh, that was a fucking $1 million idea in 1994, wasn't it? God damn it. That's why InfoSeek had a business. They just said, you know these books?
InfoSeek was in the book.
You know those books that people thumb through to find good sites? Let's just print them out into HTML pages that people have to navigate the same way books are navigated.
Yo.
And then the search engine.
Kind of Google, before there was anything, I mean, what was the first one? Like Prodigy? That actually was like a search engine?
Prodigy was not a search. Prodigy was like an AOL CompuServe thing, wasn't it?
No, yeah, it was. But it was the first one to have like a web page for... that you could go to and search for stuff, no?
Oh, like a portal? I'll tell you this. I have no idea, because I missed out on a lot of the early days of the internet, because I was damned to have a 2400 baud modem. These are conversations that I've encountered when I was young. Like, I encountered conversations like these, but they involved, like, 8-tracks, and they always had the person talking about it constantly, you know, pinging me, to find out whether or not I knew what they were talking about, so they could keep yammering on about the shit I didn't care about. So now I'm saying them, and the things that I'm talking about are relatively high tech, and not that old, but they're ancient!
Oh, that's fucking...
It's creepy now. Our trumpet windsock is the 8-track. that we did not want to hear about.
I don't know. 8-tracks are pretty high quality compared to stuff now. So
in 1995, for Christmas, someone gave me, I think it was Netscape Navigator, like extensions, like plugins.
Yeah.
In a box, not like a disc. It was in a box, like you would, like you would buy. Here's another old one, guys. Harvard Graphics. It was in like a 6-inch cube box. And all it had was a chat room and, like, a fucking trial disc for AOL. That's all it had. And it had it wasted so much paper and natural resources. Oh, what a fucking terrible time it was. And I'm not sad to see the disc drive absent from new computers. Anyway, Steven, last week I was unable to do a show as I was abroad.
So was I.
I was traveling, not abroad. But across these fine U.S., this U.S. of A. I went to Las Vegas, then I took it on down south to the Hoover Dam, swung it over slightly southeast to the Grand Canyon, hit Sedona, and drove over to Scottsdale, then flew my ass home. It was a great trip. The trip was awesome. This is why A-Webs has nothing to say about his trip. He lived it and loved it and didn't want to tell. He'd just tell you that it was awesome. I had really, really fucking amazing time. I haven't been on a trip longer than a week in years. At this point.
Neither have I.
And it felt good, but coming back to work was a fucking nightmare. And by lunch, it felt like a distant memory.
Doesn't that suck?
It does.
Once you get back into like the grind after a trip, and then it's like, that's just a memory now. That's not what I'm currently doing. It sucks.
I was getting calls from people saying, "Well, didn't you receive the email?" I'm like, "Well, you have to understand. I spent like 40 minutes looking at my email, and I'm not even fucking done. I'm not done."
Oh, I hated that.
The worst.
Get the backlog.
Yeah, and the problem is, I get so much email that I can just delete as a reflex of like just seeing it instantly. Delete. That, like, if you take a week to 10 days of that and then intersperse critical emails, it's tough to find. And you may accidentally delete one if you get into a groove. But anyway.
See, I don't do that. You know what I do?
What do you do, Steve, with your critical emails?
No. Well, I mean, when I worked at a job that had a high email traffic.
Yeah. What's up? What do you do?
I make folders just for everybody. Like, you know, I mean, you have spam and you could just redirect people to folders. And then, you know, each person at the company that I had any kind of fucking dealings with got their own folder. That's it.
I used to do that when I worked at a 10-person company.
I mean, this company was 300 people. I mean, I got
300 folders that you'd fucking manage.
Yes. Yes, divided by department.
Well, what would you do?
Company.
What would you do when you received an email sent to multiple people? Oh, you just did it by sender. That's what you did. Okay, so by sender, you would do that.
Yep.
I don't think that's necessarily the best way. I don't know.
Because
you're going to be more than likely to ignore certain people.
Yeah, but then you see like their folder gets high. And once I saw, like, there was, like, 20 messages or something like
that. That definitely seems like a bad system.
Yeah, well, whatever.
Because
it copied everything. I still had my inbox. My inbox was, like, overflowing. And nothing was read, but I tried to keep all the people on the
left. God, that just sounds so fucking miserable to me.
And I wouldn't delete anything.
A cluttered fucking, like, an overflowing garbage can. Your inbox.
Is the filing system. I guess I work like Frank has his basement.
Yeah, that's how your inbox was. It was Frank's basement. Germ Freak's basement was your inbox. You have every piece of paper that ever came to you, and you don't know where it is, but you could find it if you took a week.
Exactly. No, it doesn't take a week when you have everybody divided. That's
well, it only takes a week to find something in Germ Freak's basement because of the inevitable avalanche of files. And once the St. Bernard gets down there with his diet – caffeine-free Pepsi, whatever the fuck he drinks, and no-dos in his little barrel, then he's able to start searching again. but he's lost all of his organizational skills because the towers have toppled. He has, by the way, he was mentioned by Sandwich Humor on Twitter. Jeff from that show, which is fantastic, by the way, sandwichhumor.com. Check out Truth Time Theater. Won't you? Just be a goddamn person and check out a great show. He was listening to an old episode that I think you called into and that Frank was co-hosting.
Okay.
And he said it was great. And he said, you know, Frank, your presence is missed. And Frank just replied with, you know, it was fun times.
Looks just like the 80s.
Yeah, he treated it like it was the 80s. Meanwhile, it was like episode 212. It wasn't really all that long ago.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I talked to Frank, and I texted him. I didn't talk to him. And I said, you know, you say it's fun times, but it doesn't have to like be the past. You could do this again. He's like, I don't know. You and Steve have such a, you know, camaraderie and chemistry. And blah, blah, blah. I'm like, well, fuck it.
What?
You've been on the show with us.
I know.
And every time you do, you leave. Fucking, you have a gala to attend or some
Frank,
shit.
Frank doesn't.
A gallery Frank, opening or a fucking charity event. I don't know.
He doesn't understand like the form like Voltron thing, man.
Yeah.
Like you just add more people and it just gets better.
Well, Frank doesn't want to be the anus of the podcast Voltron that could be the DJ New Style show. Me being the lion's skull.
You, I just want to be right foot.
You would be the ass and Germ Freak would be the tail.
That makes no it sense.
It would not look like an animal. It would it would look somewhat like
like a snake,
like a rotten crawler. Somebody tried to make pastry sculpture. Anyway,
yeah.
It was a fine trip.
Any good food out west?
Yeah, there was some good food. We did the usual Bellagio buffet. I was disappointed. In the past, Shawnee Murphy has been quoted several times as saying that the French toast at the Bellagio buffet is, and I quote, fucking exquisite. He took a bite of it. I was sat next to him. He took a bite of French toast.
That is not something he would say. It starts to make me even.
I'll tell you this. He made like a little square cut. Took it off his fork, put the fork down on the napkin, and said, "This French toast is fucking exquisite." He actually said that. It moved him to those words. And it was. I tried it. It was amazing. And now it's fucking the French toast is made out of wheat bread.
Gordon Ramsay. Like, maybe Gordon Ramsay came through. You need fresh local ingredients.
It was dry, fucking chalky wheat bread.
Oh no! Yeah. No.
They tried to get fancier than they needed to, and they had another kind of French toast on Sunday for the Sunday buffet. They had like a stuffed caramelized banana bullshit, and it wasn't good. It tasted bad. It had like liqueur in it. Just make a fucking French toast. The fuck is wrong with you? You had stellar, exquisite. It was said to be exquisite French toast, and you serve me like the fucking the heel end of a pre-sliced wheat loaf.
It depends on the time you go too, because any buffet in any of those hotels has different cooks at different times.
No,
I mean it's not one guy all the time.
I saw we went there every morning that we were there, just to see if we could get different people. It was the same crew every fucking time we went.
Oh.
Every fucking time.
Were you there on a weekend?
Yeah, I was there on a Sunday, and then Monday through whenever we left. I think it was Tuesday and Wednesday. We were there like four nights. I don't really remember. It's all a fucking blur. Multi hotel room trip. Three hotels. Vegas. We stayed in the Planet Hollywood, which is nice. Got upgraded. Oh, yeah? We got upgraded by being
nice.
By the way you did it. Just they ask you, well, the non-smoking room you requested, it's gonna be two queen beds. Oh, that's terrible. Well, we have a smoking with a king size. Smoking, really? Well, looks like I can get you a free upgrade. they wanted us to be happy. We were upset.
Yeah.
He threw us the free upgrade. We had the room, by the way, averaged out to be like $80 a night. That's how much the city's fucking hurting. $80 a fucking night. Only that high because we were there a Saturday, which was $95.
Jeez.
It was cheap as fuck.
Wait,
contrast to the Labor Day party where we were Shawnee Murphy, Amanda, and I split a fucking crack nest for $5.50 for one night. We're in Vegas, overlooking the strip and the dancing fountains. It's nearly $79 a night, averaged out. Beautiful fucking room. And also,
AC takes advantage of the fact that they're close to New York and a lot of
they have to keep the fucking crackheads out. I mean, they've already surrendered the continental breakfast to the crackhead. They have to find a way to keep the crackheads out of their rooms, so they raise their rates significantly.
Yep.
And on peak days like Labor Day, they capitalize.
Oh man. Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't have degenerate gambler family members to get rooms from. An older episode for that. Anyway, we were in the Willow room. I don't know if you're familiar with Planet Hollywood. They theme each room or multiple rooms. I don't know if it's every.
So it's
room
like
gets
the Val Kilmer movie, Willow.
Fuck yeah! They had the little shit. What was his name? Willow.
Willow Ufgood.
Yeah, the little guy.
Warwick Davis.
How the fuck you didn't look? You looked that up?
No, I know. I watched
what. What the fuck else has he been in that you know?
He had an HBO series.
What?
Life's too short. It's all about him as an actor.
Are you fucking kidding me?
It's fucking hilarious, too. It was great.
Willow had a show?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. Well, they...
In real life... Well, it wasn't real life, but it was him as Warwick Davis. It was almost like the Larry David show. Whatever the fuck.
Yeah. Well, whatever.
Yeah. You know what I mean.
So they themed this room after Willow. They had some pictures and shit, and they had like a prop, like a radio-controlled little version of Willow, like on the wall mounted. And what I thought was a little bit, you know, not necessarily something I was looking forward to, but right outside of the shower, fucking Val Kilmer's character, Mad Mortigan, brandishing a sword. A huge fucking 18 by 24.
Claymore.
What?
It's a claymore.
You know, I got news for you. If it's got a handle and a
two-handed
fucking,
sword
and a long fucking blade, it's a fucking sword. Okay?
Yeah. And it's Mav Mardigan, not Mad Mortigan.
Whatever the fuck his name is, I don't give a fuck. M-A-V it is?
Mav Mardigan.
I don't give a shit. IMDb.
Or maybe it's Mad Mardigan. I think it's Mad Mardigan.
Val Kilmer. I think I'm going to be right on this.
It's not Mortigan.
Hold on.
It's Mardigan.
Whatever the fuck is it? Who gives a shit? 1988. You know, you lost your right to correct people on how it's pronounced in the summer of 89. And it's Mardigan. Okay. Mad Mardigan. Fuck yeah. You. Whatever the fuck his stupid name is. How about Bloated? His name should be. Anyway.
And you know what? He lost the weight. He did get fat, though. He got super fat.
Yeah, he was.
Weight again.
Did he? I don't know that yeah. He did. I don't know that he did.
Yeah, I think I saw him on like a sci-fi movie or some shit, like a sci-fi original movie. No. That's where his career's gone.
So that's how I ended my shower, by stepping out in the nude, confronted with a claymore brandishing Mad Marty. Just not really conducive to friendly.
So wait, is every room there like some random fucking movie room or something?
We had stayed there once before when we got the fucking cocoon room with
Wilford Brimley in the hot
just
tub.
Him and his fucking walrus tusk looking mustache just staring at you, judging you for eating sugar cereals.
Was there a naked what's his name? Some fucking guy.
I don't fucking know. Tackleberry. Who?
No.
I don't know. I never saw Cocoon. That's why I wasn't impressed. But I saw Willow.
Name's Hume Cronin.
But yeah, you know, I wasn't. It's a little lackluster.
the fucking the Hollywood aspect of the rooms at Planet Hollywood. But the hotel's nice. It's very good. I fucking loved it. So I gambled a bit. I didn't lose as much as I expected to.
That's always good.
Because I was with Amanda, I was restricted to the slot machines. And I've been, and since I've started gambling, I had played a lot of slot machines, and I've noticed that the majority of machines now are penny slots. They used to be like one or two when I first started. Like, oh, try the pen. This will get you warmed up. This is like your joint that's going to lead you to a heroin addiction. Just throw a couple of pennies in here and pull the
goddamn. Yeah, that's not how it works, though. Then they have minimum bet 20, and then now, it goes up in increments of 20. So it's 20, 40, 60. And then you hit the button twice, and you're already at 60, which is more than playing quarter slots. It's more than playing 50-cent slots.
Well, now most of them are 1 cent credit slots. They're not necessarily penny slots because, yeah, as Steve said, the minimum bet on a lot of these are 20, 30, 50. Some of them are a dollar. You hit that fucking – you put a 20 in, hit the max bet, and see $5 go by. You kind of feel like an asshole.
Yeah, but credits? Who cares?
It's just credits. Fuck it. I got a million credits. Holy shit. Oh, well, you're playing a half a cent slot. You're playing a half a cent slot, so we were playing mostly slot machines, and I had a hankering. I felt a feeling. I wanted to go on the tables, and I sat next to a guy who looked like some kind of a sultan, but he couldn't have been because he was at the table with me, and I only play cheap tables. He was at a $10 table in the Bellagio, and the guy had some kind of an ornate
turban,
ornate head wrap. And a baseball cap over the top of that.
Nice.
And he had the beard that you can't cut. What do you call those? I don't know what those people are. Sikh, maybe Sikh.
Yes, no Sikhs.
Well, he had that look going, and he was doing quite well. He hit four blackjacks in a row, then missed one and hit another blackjack.
Jesus Christ!
Yeah, it was like insane luck, and I was doing okay, and then I raised my bet. And I lost, and I lost, and I lost. And then I realized how much I've been losing. I lost a lot of the money that I had decided to bring down and lose. Two days worth of gambling. Because I usually break it out into days.
Yeah.
And say, today I'm going to lose this much. And when it's done, I'm going to go think about what I could have done with that money. Well, I went through like 3 days worth at the table. Because I'm used to being near like... Shawnee Murphy and hanging out, having a good time, talking, just betting. Hey, what do you think I should do here? And maybe he gives me a quick tip because I suck at blackjack. I just suck at it. It's easy. Yes, I know it's easy, but you'll get into a situation where five people are staring at you like you're going to ruin their fucking hand and you want to, you know,
fuck all that.
I feel it though, Steve.
You shouldn't feel it, dude. You're gambling. That's the point. It doesn't matter. The point is screwing everyone else over so you get money.
That's the point.
Especially at the table. I mean,
yeah. Okay, you're sitting at third base and you have a 20. Oh, let's hit.
No, but you know what? That's part of it because you can get people mad and let them leave the table if you don't like them.
So you're a blackjack troll? Is that what you are?
Yes, it's fun. I'm a every card game troll. Yeah. Troll everybody.
So I gave up on the tables, and I went exclusively slots, and I started to do well. I recovered all the money that I lost, except for like one of the days. So I recovered 2 days worth of gambling money, and I was down one day, and I'm doing quite well, having a pretty good stretch, walking through the casino, an animated panda on the front of a fucking screen catches my eye. I'm like, I'm going to play the panda game.
Go. Is that the one where you got to spell China?
No, it's called Bamboo Panda.
Oh, you spell bamboo. That's what
it is.
You
don't spell anything. You just fucking bet, and this little 3D panda on the top of the machine just looks down in amazement. It's like, oh, round I bet all money. Round I lose all money. Like it stares at what you're doing, and then you'll get a bonus, and it claps, and it's fun, and it makes you want to do that. And so I started playing that. Now, man, I got excited for that machine. And then we started playing any goddamn machine that was Asian themed. And, and we found ourselves at the Palms, found this one machine called Dragon whatever. And I was playing that. And I'm like, you know what? This is the machine I'm going to win on. I had this thought. I had the actual thought. This is the machine I'm gonna make my riches.
I love how Atlantic City and Vegas capitalize on people having that exact thought.
Yeah, I had that thought, and it actually was there. Wait, what the fuck? It was there, and hold on a second.
What's it was up? There.
Yeah, it was there. So I started playing it, and I put all my money into it. Started playing, losing. I got to the point where it's like, well, I better call it a day. I'm gonna cash out. I had a dollar left. I cash out. I put it. I said, fuck it. Fuck these machines. Bad luck. Don't even fucking bother. I go to the huge novelty fucking machine, and with the 2 foot wide reels that nobody wins on.
Yeah.
You ever see those?
Yeah, like the one in Vegas Vacation where the kid wins a car.
Yeah.
he just plays those and wins everything on the novelty ones.
Mr. Papa Giorgio.
Yeah, Nick Papa Giorgio from Yuma, Arizona.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, the one that you only see drunk whores with a fucking yard glass just sitting at throwing all their parents' money into it. So I went over there, and Amanda decides she's going to play that machine. And three fucking button presses later, it hits the fucking jackpot. Hits the jackpot on a penny slot machine and is awarded $300.
Nice.
The jackpot. So that word should not be fucking related to $300.
What was the bet? Like the total
30
bet?
30 cents.
What was the bet?
Oh, for Christ's sake. You gotta be fucking kidding me. 316-768-4472. You're on the DJ New Style Show with Steve the LARPer. Who's this?
Mr. New Style, how are you, sir?
I am good. Is this Mr. Hamuel Hawk? Mr. New Style,
how are you, sir? This is. Oh, shit.
You got to turn your fucking thing down.
I'm a radio pro, man.
You got to turn your fucking thing down. I just hung up on Steve because I'm a fucking jerk. And I'm not used
to
this.
So what is your Mr. New Style Vegas?
Yeah, I went to Vegas. I went to the Grand Canyon. I went to Sedona. Looked at some red rocks, and then I went to Scottsdale, Arizona, to relax at a spa. I had a nice fucking spa day, like a 72-year-old retiree.
Very nice, very nice. Now, were you assaulted with the little cards for prostitutes while you were walking the street in Vegas?
Assaulted or? Or would you say enriched?
They get aggressive.
They don't. No, they don't get aggressive. They just show that they have very dexterous fingers. That
I might have just looked desperate.
They can do that with one hand. I can't.
It is, and they say immigrants contribute nothing to our society, right?
Absolutely right. I'm getting Steve back into the conversation here. Steven, are you there? I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, so what we're talking about here is the Mexicans that would otherwise be maintaining the grounds are handing out little business cards for women who claim to be prostitutes and also claim to be able to arrive at your room in 20 minutes.
Yeah, it sounds like
amazing.
Yeah.
Wait, prostitution's legal in Vegas, right?
No, sir. Not in the city of Vegas, but in the state of Nevada, yes.
Ah, all right.
So, Mr. Hawk, have you ever encountered these? You've encountered these Spaniards many times.
Many a time.
Yeah. Do you ever take them? Do you ever take the card from them?
I took many of them. I used them actually when I ran out of cardboard filter tips for joints. I used those when I was up in the hotel room.
Not too bad. You put your fucking lips near it?
Sure, why not? I was going to put my lips near a hooker. Why not that? Next best thing.
The hooker wasn't shitting on strawberries fucking 35 minutes before it handed you that card. But that Spaniard was. Steve, have you ever heard of this phenomenon in Las Vegas on the Strip?
What? People handing out cards for hookers?
Yes.
I know it's easy to get hookers in Las Vegas, but I've never been there, so I don't know.
Believe me when I tell you that when you're walking along one of the sidewalks in any part of Vegas, you are approximately 6 inches from a Spanish person who is holding a stack of paper of either – they've upgraded their media, by the way. They have business cards. They have posters that are like – not posters, like little 3x5 cards. And now they have fucking brochures. They've entrusted the head, most experienced Spaniard with brochures. And Steve, they engage in these tactics to get you to view the contents of it, which is essentially pornography. And I'm looking at this shit that they're handing out. I'm like, if my 13-year-old self was here, he would take every one of these and bury it in the woods behind a fucking evergreen. they would be my treasure. But now they're just garbage that you can find anywhere. They have this way of delivering it, where they have the stack in one hand and they have the one they want to give out in the other. And they're able to flick it like a baseball card in spokes with one hand. It sounds like...
from like this.
And they just put it in front of you. They'll never touch you. But they'll put it in front of you, and it looks like you're so close to rubbing against this dirty, disgusting hand holding delicious pornography in front of you. But they're pros. They're absolute pros.
You got some problems, man.
What are you talking about? I've got problems.
You got some problems. That's some deep-seated post-racial Obama America issues right there.
No. I think it's just me looking at the world and seeing exactly what it is. A Spanish man handing out pornography.
you are a Nazi terrorist, if we remember the glorious Mr. Midnight.
Oh, yeah, Mr. Midnight movie, by the way. For those of you who don't know him, stick around for the post show one night when Steve and I call in and
that's the best fun show to ever call in.
Oh, my friend, he's talked about you every night. We've went back to visiting him frequently.
What do you mean he's talked about me every night?
Every night you compose at least 15 minutes at the top or bottom of his show.
Like nice. Hold on, because we've been on decent terms with him. Steve and I have. We've called in.
Yeah.
We've entertained his topic.
He's told us.
Really?
So that's
he
where
once
it's stemming
devoted
from?
An entire opening segment to Mr. Jewish Producer, telling word for word what you and him talked about on how to make his show better, as if you were Jesus Christ on the fucking mouth.
Awesome.
Really?
As if you were Christ.
Wow. Well, wait a minute. That's not good because it's Jewish Producer saying it. So is he trying to kill me?
You've converted his ass, I think. They read off messages you send to them like it's gospel, it's gorgeous. And they're all shit advice. What's wrong with you?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. What are some of the things that I told them? Because I don't remember. I don't remember any of the things. I don't know. What are the pleasantries they've been saying about me?
Many I think that you're the most mature of us. that you are the only one with any potential.
How bad
but
are you guys? How
right?
bad
we're
are you
terrible.
Guys? Jesus Christ. Okay,
you
so...
counselors or something?
We're all one jelly bean away from a Newtown school shooting, seriously.
Oh, my God.
Steve,
by the way, if you don't know Hamuel Hawk, he is of the Rocknet stable. He is a member of a group of people who have decided to troll Blog Talk Radio for their own entertainment purposes. And the number one prime target on Blog Talk Radio is obviously Mr. Midnight Movie, Mr. Zubaz and Fanny Pack with fake wig and mustache Midnight Movie. Mr.
Wonderful.
I once was kicked out of an Asian, all-you-can-eat Asian fish establishment, Mr. Midnight Movie.
He's on at 12:30 tonight, Eastern, if you dare to pay him a visit and listen to his homily on fucking DJ News style.
Well, yeah, I think we'll have to listen, maybe.
The thing is, we do that after the show, because we just love calling in and listening and just to see what he's talking about. He started a show listing porn stars, like male, not even like favorite porn stars.
It was just male porn stars
from the 80s that he was 90s. Able to recognize at a glimpse.
What did you expect, honestly?
I didn't expect too much, but he kept going back to it and kept talking about it and all that, and we called in and just stole his entire show. And what I don't realize is that on Blog Talk Radio, they have time limits, I guess. It always gets away from me when I'm listening to one of the shows on there.
Yeah, they end abruptly.
It's like, well, that's the hour, see ya! And then they do a show for whoever's on the phone, I guess. I don't know how that works, but we caught him at the opening of his show, and we called in 5 minutes later, and we basically ran the entire thing. And he was our listener.
It was great, though. It was a great show.
Yeah. So maybe that's why he's singing my praises.
Yes, and remember, Mr. Jewish Producer's number one rule was do not give in to Rocknet. If a DJ New Style says you guys feed on attention and to ignore you, and
is
so
that what he
given
said?
Us their entire show for the last 3 days.
Oh, shit.
We've essentially called in nonstop and taken over the show and renamed it.
I love it. I absolutely love it. Oh, yeah, no,
it's
I
like
did,
you're schooling
I did tell
children.
Him. I gave him advice for dealing with Rocknet. That was the absolute worst way to deal with Rocknet.
Yeah, they didn't take it.
Yeah, they didn't. And they didn't.
They're going even harder.
Wow. Interesting.
But you still have a wonderful show, sir, and I just wanted to call in and rekindle an old love.
Oh, it's such a good feeling I have down deep inside my pants.
So I will continue listening, but I'll let you be with your dreams of Mr. Midnight Movie.
But what do you have planned? I understand that you're going to be doing your own show once again in January.
Yeah, we did the limited run, 30 days on Blog Talk, and we're going to do another 30 in January.
Very nice. So you're doing it like seasons of a program.
Well, look at the alternative. I don't ever want us to be known as the Mr. Midnight of being assholes to people.
Yeah. Well, the Mr. Midnight of being assholes. You're planning on doing this every evening or at least a couple times a week?
No, we're doing three a week.
And now who's the cast? Who's going to be on the show?
It is the Rocknet technician, who you know.
Yes.
Jesus Christ. That was your Rocknet friend sending me a gift. Yeah, we have the Rocknet technician. We have Kitten. We have Mr. Jeeves, who you also know.
Yes.
The High Five Ghost, unfortunately, was deported.
Really? Interesting.
Deportation.
It was tragic.
Yeah, I understand there were some issues with the High Five Ghost.
And we hope we can invite you on as an alumnus and a founding father of Rocknet, sir.
I'd love to be a part of it. I'll listen and I'll call in, but I hope to just listen mostly.
You really don't want to be a part of it, honestly.
I want to just call in and
say
hello.
It's going to be horrifying.
And you know, there's always that moment when you have something planned, and then you throw it to the rest of the guys, and they're not ready for it. And then it just fucking fizzles. I felt
that
a couple times.
That was every show. I mean, you listen, that was every show.
Well, you have this professionalism that you'd bring to your show, and you'd have a list of ideas, and you would present one of them, and it would be met with, I don't have an opinion on that.
You'd be like,
well,
wall of inanity.
Well, fuck.
I presented a brilliant prompt, and it was followed by an hour of garbage.
Yeah, I do remember one thing that was a little confusing. You did like a live fucking LARP or something.
Yes, what? We played Dungeons and Dragons with Mr. Midnight.
Nice.
Yes. Yeah, they did a live Dungeons and Dragons. I Steve the LARPer obviously would be more suited for that.
D&D like twice
you,
in my life.
First of all, the reason you're known as Steve the LARPer is because you've LARPed. You've actually been a part of a LARP. You're going to deny that now?
It's not D&D. It's different.
But you are Steve the LARPer because you've LARPed. And not only that...
It's D&D with moving.
Yeah. Not only that, Steve, you went to a fucking LARPing award show.
I was part of the production of a LARPing award show.
And you went there convinced that you would come home with a promise of a date.
Debbie Gibson.
With Debbie Gibson.
who later actually fell further down. She was doing Broadway. Then she ended up doing like 8 sci-fi original movies. But she did do Mega Shark versus...
Yeah, but she didn't make the ultimate mistake, which is sleeping with Steve the LARPer.
I would do it.
Yes.
Oh.
There you go. You got to take her.
Listen to that, Debbie Gibson.
Yes. See? Anyway, Hamuel, thank you very much, buddy.
I love you, son.
Oh, and the love you is did coming not right back at you. Love's coming right back at you, buddy. Rocknet. Rocknetshow.com, is that right?
Yep.
Am I promoting a fucking hate group?
A terrorist network, yes. That's exactly what you're doing.
I'm not encouraging anybody to go there, but if you happen to go there, they're just good at really irritating the shit out of people. And if you enjoy that type of thing, rocknetshow.com. There you go. All right,
thank
buddy.
You, sir. I love you.
Oh, yes. I feel weird saying I love you. Because we just met. No. Anyway, Steven.
Yes.
That was Hamuel Hawk, rocknetshow.com, coming back for a one-month run. That's an interesting concept. I like that. You do a
solid... That sounds like a best in show concept.
Well, no, that best in show concept is we're back and we're going to be doing the show, and then
no, we're not.
Then they do it and then they don't do it, and there's no planned run. There's no beginning. There's no end. They just come back. They are. They were. They will be. But yeah, it's another thing I want to mention here really quickly is Bug Zapper Radio. Go to bugzapperradio.com. Go to hearustalk.com. Check out the previous episodes of the show. He's going to be live tomorrow night on Hear Us Talk. It's our buddy Clayton. And what a fucking fantastic man he is. Let me just say.
He's a purveyor of fine grapefruit as well.
Coming home from this trip to a shipped package of Texas citrus, the likes of which I've never tasted. Fantastic grapefruit, the greatest thing I've ever eaten in my life.
And a big thank you to Clayton for that too.
He sent that up, and each one was wrapped in little paper that said "Season's greetings." It was so nice. When I opened up my pack of 8 grapefruits,
oh, I got 12.
Yeah. Oh, I originally got 12.
It was a 3x4.
I originally got 12, but my parents were picking up my packages to protect them from the weather. And I don't know how the one marked Texas citrus got opened and fucking 4 of them stolen. I don't know how that happened, but I opened it up. I had two of them tonight. I ate 2 of these fucking grapefruits.
I didn't have one today. I've had one every day since I've got it. I'm down to 7 left.
They're fucking delicious. What a fucking great guy he is. Bug Zapper Radio, Clayton. I can't tell you how fucking great it was to come home and have that nice treat.
Yep. It was such a surprise when I got it. I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah.
These are the grapefruits. And like I busted it open quick. I'm like, wow, this thing's beautiful.
Yeah, you posted it on Facebook, and I saw it. I'm like, man, I can't wait to get home and just eat those. I realized, like, when I was a kid, I hated grapefruit because it was always bitter. I thought it was bitter, but I guess when you get older,
dude, the bitterness of these grapefruits is like less than oranges. I'd say an orange is almost as bitter or more bitter.
No, but what I'm saying is like my tastes have changed, and I'll eat a bitter grapefruit now. But But what I'm saying with these, there's no bitterness. It's sweeter than a fucking orange. It's just incredible.
Dude, when I was a little kid, we used to go to my grandfather's house in Florida, and he had an orange tree, a grapefruit tree, a big ass aloe vera plant.
Yeah,
he had utility plants in his yard. So we always had. I mean, this is from when I was like 3 years old to like 10 years old. Every time we went down there for Easter, we always had grapefruits from his tree when we went down because it was like a good season for him. They were just, getting on the vine or whatever. And it just reminded me of that when I had the fucking grapefruit. I'm like, I haven't enjoyed a grapefruit like that since having it off the vine. And the ones from Texas, probably better.
Yeah. Just Clayton's the best. He'll send you a box of grapefruits. He'll send you some comments about shows that we do. he sent a text to me that made me laugh about how irritated he was that I didn't get the proper smashing I deserved for attending a Carrie Underwood concert. And I thought that, yeah, you really dropped the ball on that. Because let me tell you.
You know what?
If Germ Freak went to a goddamn Carrie Underwood show, you can rest assured that I would have made fun of him for it.
You would, but, you know, I can never make fun of anybody for seeing any band. Unless, they try to put it in your face. Like, oh, man, I went to go see One Direction. And, dude, keep saying it to you. I'm like, I don't fucking give a shit. And that, you know what, that goes for any band.
Well, I did see a couple of musical performances while in Vegas.
And that wasn't your choice either. That's a big part of it.
Well, I mean, they weren't my preferences, but it was my choice to buy the tickets.
No, it wasn't your choice to see Carrie Underwood, is what I'm saying.
Well, again, I bought the tickets as a gift. It was to make someone else happy, right? So
yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's not like you wanted to go see Carrie Underwood, suggested it, bought the tickets, and then you went to go see it. That wasn't the way it went down.
Yeah, no. I bought it as a gift to Amanda, and we went and saw it. And we saw two other musical acts. Well, we went to the American Country Awards. Amanda likes country. So we went to the American Country Awards, which was, the people were performing on stage, but I may as well have been driving down a highway listening to Amanda's fucking satellite country channel. It was the same fucking thing. It was cool. I mean, you see, I guess, a stage performance of anything that you're familiar with. It's all right. So we saw that. I've never been to an award show. I didn't really have any idea what the fuck this was. Like, I don't have a there are a ton of music award shows. You know, there's the Grammys, that's the big one. The VMAs is kind of, second tier, right? And then there's other ones where you don't,
People's Choice is pretty big.
Yeah, but who gives a shit? I didn't know if the American Country Awards was the big one or the Who Gives a Shit one.
No, it's big.
It's not big. It's actually the Who Gives a Shit one. The award is a fucking guitar, a plastic guitar that they hand the people. It's not even a little statuette. It's here's a fucking guitar, goddamn. And none of the major acts were there. Like, for example, Taylor Swift is a major country act. Listen, Clayton, I know you're fucking biting on your fucking tongue right now, ripping the fucking skin off your cheek, just gnawing at your face, but you can't deny it. She is a major star. She was nominated, but no way would she ever win because she wouldn't attend those fucking awards. Kelly Clarkson, for example, George Strait, they're not going to be at this fucking award. And I didn't know that it was the second tier country awards, but it was a good time. And I did enjoy it. I got to sit next to fucking people in cowboy hats and rodeo garb because Steve, the rodeo was in town.
Yeah!
And you have no fucking idea how fucking white trashy Vegas can be when
it's the West, rodeo, man.
When the rodeo is in town.
I would assume Vegas is like AC and cowboy hats. That's the way I always saw it. I never went there.
What? Vegas? You would think is AC with cowboy hats?
Yeah, plus tourists.
No, it's really not. You don't, when the rodeo isn't there, there's hardly any cowboy hats. There's a smattering. You'll see a couple. But everybody is wearing a fucking cowboy hat right now.
That's the tourists there for the rodeo week or whatever the fuck it was.
Yeah. fuck. I don't know. So wait, I don't know what Clayton is exactly disagreeing with us. Is he saying that rodeo equals white trash? I don't know. I don't know. I don't really have a fucking opinion on the people that do rodeo, except for the fact that I look at the people that perform, that wrestle the fucking cattle, and the Bulls and all that shit, and I look at the fans, and I don't see a fucking difference. Like, the thing is, with basketball, they're all... Like, with rodeo, they're all wearing the same shit. Like, they all have the hat, the jacket, the fucking cut-off shit. They're wearing the same stuff in the stands and while they're doing the rodeo. And they do that in basketball, too. They have the fans wearing the jerseys in the stands, and they have the athletes on the court. The difference is, you know who the fucking athletes are in basketball. You have no fucking clue who actually does rodeo. Or who is just an enthusiast.
Like, I can even name NASCAR superstars. You know, there's like Jeff Gordon and all these other guys. Dale Earnhardt. You know, I can't name one rodeo, like, superstar ever.
I really don't know.
Someone named Daryl, maybe? Daryl?
If it's not somebody named Daryl, it's somebody named Jasper. Is Jasper like the hackneyed name to choose?
Oh, Ty. Wait, Ty. Ty Murray.
Yeah, Tuck. Someone named Tuck. Like, it's some kind of verb that is not foreboding, but if you're named it, it's a big deal.
Yeah, Ty.
Oh, Ty Murray is the big one. Tef? Really? Tough?
Tough. Hedeman.
I'm telling you, my son name going to be Huff. Tough.
Yeah, I think it's going to be Huff before Tough.
Yeah, he will be huffing. But yeah, it's all these people that put on all their rodeo outfits and they go sit at the fucking blackjack table and they fucking do the rodeo walk like they have bad fucking swivel hips.
They got fucking crotch burn.
Yeah, exactly. And so I'm in there and like this guy in front of me has his favorite country star. He's starting to play like, God damn, Luke Bryan, God damn. Just screaming, goddamn! And I'm like, you know what? This is what Clayton needs to hear, because that's not just a fucking impression, okay?
That's perpetuating the stereotype.
This is a real fucking thing. The guy is actually screaming, goddamn! Awful. We did see the American Country Awards, and also we saw another musical act, and it was a country related act as well.
Which one?
A female artist.
Which one?
She had a lot of hits. Amanda's been
Dolly Parton?
Amanda's been dying to see her since 2003. No, fucking Dolly Parton. Listen. Listen. Dolly Parton, if you go, okay. It was Shania Twain, okay? I went to a fucking Shania Twain concert. And I did it because Amanda wanted to see fucking Shania Twain since goddamn 2003. And every time she was nearby, I'd be like, yeah, we'll just get the next one. She's a big star. She'll be touring forever. And then one day she announces she's no longer touring. And apparently we were unable to see her. And when we get there, we see a big fucking poster with her face. And I'll be honest, she's aged. Just aged a little bit.
Fine wine.
You into that, Steve? You like that?
I think certain women age very well.
She looks all right. But the thing is, we saw that and we knew we had to go and buy the tickets so that I could get that off the list of shit that she'll complain about forever. So we wanted to make that happen. I wanted to make that happen for her. So we bought tickets to the fucking Shania Twain show. And I knew, because this was after Clayton texted me about the Carrie Underwood thing. After, he's like, you know what, you weren't smashed enough for going to that fucking Carrie Underwood concert. I texted him and I said, I am going to a Shania Twain concert. And he just fucking, his fingers erupted with responses as soon as he saw it. And he said, he put in quotes, man, I feel like a woman. If you even mouth the words, you're gay. Fuck. I mean, the songs are catchy. I know them because I've been with Amanda and she's, you know, had the albums playing constantly. So at least I wasn't the crying man in the front row that she held the mic to. Like, there was a guy crying because he had front row seats. And she's like, what's wrong? Oh, this guy has been singing all the words, and I can tell. And she walked down to him and put the mic in front of his face. And she's like, how long have you been listening to my records? And she put the mic right next to his face, and this is what he does. He goes, I love all your songs. I love all your songs. He was there with his wife. He was dressed in a suit. He probably tried to make this a big night for her, but apparently this was a big night for him. I love all your songs. And she's like, well, which ones do you like the best? I like your duets. I like your duets. And she started singing like From This Moment. And then she put the mic to him and goes, let's harmonize. And he started fucking singing it. And she was singing it too. And I could tell this dude, two notes in, ejaculated, powering it through his pants onto the stage. This dude came so fucking hard. I guarantee, like, this was his moment. He was feeling it. So no, it wasn't for me. I was not that dude. But I went to a goddamn Shania Twain concert. So that's three country shows in 9 days. I am officially white trash. Thank you. Officially white trash.
I think only by association.
What do you mean by association? Just the
You went through the motions of being white trash, but I don't think that makes you white trash.
Okay.
All right. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's true. That is true. But Shania Twain concert, not something I was exactly planning on fucking doing. So we went there and did that. But Vegas, you know, four nights is enough. And on the fourth day, I think, or whatever, we left, checked out the Hoover Dam, did the damn tour, took the damn pictures. You know, those motherfuckers saw that movie with Chevy Chase, the fucking Vegas Vacation, and they just took that shit and ran with it. You know what I'm talking about?
Where he's hanging off the side of Hoover Dam.
Well, there's the one scene where it's like, welcome to the damn tour. Take all the photos you want. They took that shit and fucking ran with it. Everything is... Amanda said, do you guys offer any AAA discounts or anything like that? Like, you know, just
get the damn discount if you want.
No, the lady at the counter goes, sorry, no damn discounts. I wanted to fucking cave her face in. First time.
Oh, come on, man.
Not that she said, sorry, no damn discounts. It was the 15th time somebody did that damn pun.
15th? It was probably like the 1,900th for her.
Yeah. It was impressive to see, you know, to peer over the edge, to go into the tunnel and actually look out of one of the vents. Stick your fucking hand out there with your camera like you got balls. Like you don't give a shit if you drop it. Secretly hoping you don't.
Strap on, yes.
Yeah. And then there is the new bridge. There's the overpass that they just completed in 2010. Something like 900 feet up. And windy as fuck. Like, you look into the shrubs near the Hoover Dam, and you see fucking cowboy hats just like that have been there. Like, nobody's ever going to get to them. Some fucking redneck jack-off, probably during the rodeo championship week, whatever the fuck it is. Just wore his best fucking hat, and it flew off his goddamn head. And what are you going to do? Left it there. Just gone. Can't get it. And it's windy. It's so fucking windy up there. And looking out, I'm like, well, okay, we're done. So we get in the car, turn the GPS on to our destination in the Grand Canyon. And we're following a couple cars to the route that it has chosen to go. And we get there and it says road closed. And I look at the road. It looks like it's been closed for quite a fucking while. And I think, well, I guess we don't have the updated maps. I think I said that. I said, we don't have the updated maps.
Is this Apple Maps or Google
Maps?
This is
a GPS. It's a regular Garmin Navi GPS. And so we turn around. And we see other people coming our way. So I figure anybody coming this way is trying to get to the road that's closed, so they also have out-of-date GPSs. So we're driving around, we go up, and we take the new fucking way, go over the fucking overpass, and we're on our way. And I'm like, well, you know, we avoided that.
No recalculating?
Yeah, no, no recalculating. We avoided that. We're on our way to the Grand fucking Canyon. The Grand Canyon. The sunset over the desert. Beautiful. Taking some pictures. Got a nice 4-hour drive. We get within the last highway before our destination, and it's pitch black, dark.
Nice.
So we've seen the sunset. We've seen all of it. It's pitch black, and we're getting close. I can tell. I'm looking at the time. We have a dinner reservation at this supposedly this really nice restaurant. I haven't been there. I've heard about it. It's at our hotel. So we're getting close to the reservation time. We're kind of worried. And we hear, okay, turn left on whatever trail. I'm like, okay, good. That means we're going to be there. We're turning off this highway. We're going to be there. And then it says, turn right onto Maqui Drive, whatever the fuck it is. And we turn right. And then it says, turn left on Fire Road 602. And I look, and it's a fucking dirt road. And I'm thinking, well, you know, in researching this trip, I've read some reviews. It's like, oh, you know, the rental car had to handle some of the bumps in the dirt road, and that kind of sucked, but it was really beautiful. Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, well, I guess dirt roads are a thing you have to contend with when you go to the Grand Canyon, so it's not a big deal. And we follow the dirt road that the GPS has taken us on, and we're following it and following it, and we're turning and driving over little 2x4 fucking wooden footbridges, and we're passing signs that say, now entering fucking so-and-so reservation, payable upon visibility. Like some weird fucking sign. I passed a managed fire sign, and I'm expecting the brush-clearing inferno, but I just see like a campfire with shadowy figures around it. It's getting a little creepy, and all of a sudden, I hear from the fucking GPS, recalculating. Like the fucking thing said it with a smile and had no idea that we were on a dirt road with a trench on either side. No lights, no fucking signs. I at one point we drove over a fucking railroad track and had no idea we did until we
fucking, until the train hit the back of your car.
No, until we saw that we made a loop around on another part of the trail and went over the same set of tracks.
Oh, this looks familiar.
Yeah, and so we heard recalculating, and we look at the arrival time, and it had added 30 minutes. And Amanda's nice. Like, I don't know where we are. This is freaking me out. Blah, blah. I'm like, and I actually said, like an asshole, I go, what do you want me to do? Like that. She's like, freaked out. We're in the fucking woods with our rental car, our fucking Nissan Altima. Okay, it's one thing to have a rental car and it's got 4-wheel drive, or it's almost a truck, like maybe it's a fucking, I don't know, a minivan or anything that's big. We're in a fucking Nissan Altima. Okay, just to tell you how fucking ready and rugged this car is. Germ Freak drives a Nissan Altima. That's highway driving only, okay? That guy covers a lot of road, none of it dirt. And we're on a fucking dirt road, god damn it. And we're hitting bumps and we're looking around. So I turn on my phone and I plug in the name of the hotel, and I see a trail that I remember. And I say, okay, we have like 3 more miles here, blah, blah, blah. And we follow it up. The road gets real skinny. It gets really fucking rugged. There's width for one car. And I'm thinking, God, if this is the fucking only way here, what do we do if another car is coming at us? Like, this has to be a one way, right? I mean, I'm thinking,
are you going the right way?
If another car comes on this road, we're fucked because there's nowhere to pull off. They have to either do the backup 20 miles thing until they find a hollow so I can get by, or I have to do that so they can get past. So I'm thinking about this, and I'm like, you know, we haven't seen anything except those shadowy figures in fucking 40 minutes. So we'll probably be good. So we carry on. We fucking get to a place where we start to see road signs. It's still unpaved. I saw a glimmer of light and it disappeared instantly. I'm like, that's a good sign. I saw telephone wires. I'm like, that's a good sign. And then all of a sudden it went. We were on paved road.
Nice.
You have no idea how fucking great it feels to be on paved road after about 20 miles of fucking dirt, bumpy, gravel, fucking shit road. So we get there. We park. We bring our shit in. We're like late for our reservation. So right away we go over to the front desk and we say, hey, we had reservations for like 10 minutes ago. I hope that's going to be okay. The guy goes, I think it'll be fine. I think it'll be fine. So we go and we put our shit in the room. And this hotel looks fucking frightening, by the way. It's 20 feet from the rim, the south rim of the canyon. It's built on the fucking rim of the canyon.
So you can like spit off your like railing and like spit down the canyon.
Yeah, you can do that.
Or drive golf balls.
So and it's also it's one of those hotels that has history. It's like a stop on the fucking wagon train or whatever the fuck. Like it's one of those old. It had a lot of history. It was bought by a company that wanted to keep it around. It's called El Tovar Hotel. So we drop our shit off in our room. Creepy fucking low ceilings. It's all fucking just old looking, frightening. There's these pictures of people and it feels like they're just staring through you. The paintings, absolutely frightening. Drop our bags off, go to the restaurant, and we're met by this hostess and they're just eyeing us up and down and just staring at us like we're fucking weird. I'm like, what? I mean, I'm not wearing a suit or anything like that, but I'm not really dressed like a scumbag. What's the problem with these people? They're like, we'll seat you right here. And they show us these like this dessert tray before we even get into the place. Like, we're at the hostess stand, and they're like, here's the desserts that we have. We make these desserts every day. These are the desserts we've traditionally sold. We've sold these since the start of El Tovar, this famous apple streusel, and blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, okay, can I just get some food? And they sat us at our table. And of course they do. The restaurant, by the way, the reason we would be fine with our late reservation, the restaurant is a cavern, and there's three people in it. There's three fucking guests eating in this huge fucking gymnasium of a restaurant. It's gigantic and dimly lit. And that's supposed scary. To be nice. It's fucking awful. It's just hideous. And what do, Steve? They sit us next to the fucking people. I like what? It. I like an empty restaurant. Put me in a corner somewhere. They put us in between.
Away from
they
the
put
other
us
person.
In between the two occupied tables.
What?
I passed this table filled with old people that had like cotton candy hair. You know that hair that is no longer strands, but it's like that shit you use to simulate cobwebs?
Yep.
They had that for hair. And they were
you could see their bald heads and
it was like clear skin. They looked like wax figures that were kind of left out a little bit. Or better yet, at the end of Indiana Jones Holy Grail whatever bullshit. You know when the guy drinks from the jeweled chalice and he's all smug and all of a sudden he starts to melt and there's a point where he looks like Christopher Lloyd from Back to the Future where he has that long hair and just a fucking bony face. He looked like that. He looked exactly like that. Everybody at that table looked exactly like that. And we're sitting down and as we sit down, everybody's looking at us. Not just staff. The fucking patrons. The fucking cotton hand candy headed fucking old people staring at us and, you know, talking about whatever and this and that. And I overhear these people talking about Three's Company as if it's this new show that they have to see. I just can't wait to see that again. I just can't wait to see that Jack Tripper is funny. And who is that? Is that Terry? Or is that, who is that? Suzanne Summers? Blah, blah, blah. This is the type of shit I would do to fuck with people, but they're being genuine. At this point, I feel like I'm in a fucking haunted restaurant in a fucking Indian burial ground. I feel so creeped out. And then our waiter comes out. some fidgety-eyed fuck.
Was it Quasimodo?
No, he looked like, you know, when like a guy's getting ready to retire and he doesn't want to like acknowledge that he's that age and he's useless at his job, so he could be fired at any day. You know that look of exasperation on his face? Like, the minute an old man realizes he's useless, that's the look this guy had on his fucking face. And he was just fumbling his eyes, little fumbling eyes going left and right and up and down. Oh, the chef has more selections on the menu, and they're $30 and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, oh, holy shit, just please stop fucking looking at me. Stop. I'm going to fucking laugh, and this is not going to be good. I'm going to laugh at you, and it's not going to be good. And I looked at the first thing on the menu. I said, I'll have the trout. And I said it like that. I didn't say trout. I said, I'll have the trout. And
trout.
Fucking Amanda started laughing. She had to look away. And the guy got a little bit weirded out by us. And he seemed put off by our behavior. I don't know.
So basically everyone was looking for a reason. Because you instantly made this guy feel bad.
I couldn't stop laughing because of what the fuck we just did. We drove on a fucking dirt road in a rental car. Our car, by the way, used to be black and it now looked tan. It was covered in fucking dust. Covered. I had handprints of dust all over my fucking pants. The only thing I can think of is maybe they saw all the dust that I had on me that I didn't like realize
just
I had.
Came out of
on
the
me.
Desert.
Yes.
Water. You should have walked in and just had like water.
So I ate my probably microwaved fish and went up to my fucking room, and we had a great time at the fucking canyon. And then I, on a whim, searched the name of the hotel on my phone, just in Google, El Tovar, and the first suggest that came up. Guess the first one, Steve. You want to guess the first one? Try to get the dog dish champion from me. You're not gonna get it. It's
El Tovar Murder.
El Tovar Haunted. The very awesome. First fucking one. And apparently there's a grave in the parking lot that we parked right next to. Had no idea. They say an apparition of the fucking guy who started it appears during Christmas and starts welcoming people.
And then your Ultima fucking knocked over the gravestone, huh?
I think we might have hit that fucking stone, too. Because we did crisp up the hubcap on the rental a little bit. And we were coming up with all kinds of stories to deny it. But in any event, Steve, that was a frightening experience. That ended up being awesome. We did a mule ride, not the one into the canyon, because apparently, Steve, I am too heavy for a pack animal. I cannot.
Apparently, I am too. Because
I cannot sit atop a pack animal and ride it into the fucking Grand Canyon, because fully clothed with all your equipment, your winter jacket, your boots, whatever you have to be 200 pounds. 200 pounds to sit on a fucking pack animal like they give a shit about its fucking spine. Like they give a shit. So we did this this one ride. We went through the forest and rode out to the rim, and we got to take some pictures and shit. We got our pictures on
ride?
The fucking mule. No, a mule. There's a 225 limit for the fucking forest ride. So, you know, I'm not 200, but I'm not 225. So I was able to do that. We did it. We rode through the fucking forest, and I got to ride a mule. And it was great because it began with this big lecture from the guy. I don't know why everybody with a mustache looks like fucking Wilford Brimley to me, but just picture Wilford Brimley. And maybe the discussion of the cocoon room earlier is bringing this more into to my mind. But he gave this huge fucking lecture about helicopters crash, hikers die every day. Nobody dies on a mule. Nobody dies on a mule. If you're going to tip over.
You can eat the fucking mule.
If you're going to die, if you're going to tip over, slide back. Stay on your mule. That's the number one rule. Stay on your mule. You will not die if you're on your mule. These are selfish animals. They do not want to die. They do not fall over. They're very sure-footed. Stay on your mule.
Was George W. Bush fucking tour guide?
Fucking, I don't know. There's some fucking either Teddy Roosevelt fucking impersonator. I don't know. That's what it was. So he was telling us to stay on the mule, really stressing that. They're so sure-footed. They don't want to die. They won't fall. Nobody dies on a mule. On our fucking ride, a mule fell over and onto a guy.
Oh, my God.
The other thing was, if you need
something... Did he stay back?
If you need something, if you need something, say what you need. If something happens, say what happens. Most important thing is communication. Stress that. All I hear at one part of the ride is... Just a scream. And then
I would have been laughing my ass off.
And I'm like, what the fuck? And a mule with no rider comes up right next to mine. And I look, and the fucking saddle's twisted around by his balls. The whole thing is twisted all the way off. And I look, and there's just a guy just dusting himself off. And they're like, oh my God, are you okay? Are you okay? He's like, I'm okay. Why don't you ask the mule how he is? I'm like, you fucking jerk off. He just fell off a fucking mule. He goes, oh, he fell on me. He fell on me. Like, the mule fell on you and you're still okay? Like, I didn't see it. I still don't believe it fucking fell on him, but I love to believe that it happened. So I like that. So I'll kind of go with it just for the fact that I can say when I was riding a mule, one of the mules fell on another guy. Apparently, what happened... What the guide said is that the mule saw a black plastic garbage bag in a stream and got spooked and fell over.
Very sure-footed animals.
Nobody dies on a mule. What if there was a fucking an old James Way bag on the trail of the canyon, which is like a foot and a half wide, and it got spooked and fell down the fucking canyon? Would you live on that mule? I don't fucking think so. Awful.
They didn't die on the mule. They died when they fell off the mule.
See, that's technical. That's like a Disney stat. Nobody dies at Disney World, but they will pronounce you and your severed head dead off of property. Yeah, that's one of those things. Anyway, so we did do the trail. We walked the trail that the mule would have taken us down if I was a little lighter, if I was 200 pounds. And let me tell you, I'm glad we didn't. I'm glad I ate my way to being too heavy for a pack animal. It is the most daunting looking fucking thing. It's a zigzag trail down the face of a fucking canyon.
Yeah, dude.
And I would have believed that the mules were sure footed if one of them didn't fall on a guy in the woods with no treacherous land nearby, just a plastic bag. A plastic bag scared the fucking mule and almost killed somebody. Shit. Well, we've been doing this for, what, over an hour now, Steve? Still talking about my trip.
Just,
I'm sorry.
Just about an hour. Just about.
It was a big trip for me.
Was.
Saw the Grand Canyon. I was very excited. I got to ride in a Jeep tour in Sedona. Some fucking crazy man driving a goddamn Jeep up the face of rocks. Down cliffs and shit. Pretty amazing. And then we topped it all off with a nice day at a spa in Scottsdale. We have a call here.
That was your idea, right?
No, it was Amanda's idea. 316-768-4472. You're on the DJ New Style Show with Steve the Lover. Who's this?
Hey, this is Jeff from Sandwich Humor.
Jeff, what's going on, buddy? Sandwich Humor. Truth Time Theater.
Hey, well, first, want to thank you guys for pushing our show as much as you have. We do appreciate that quite a bit. You've kicked up our numbers pretty substantially. So
I doubt that.
Thank you for that.
But I doubt it. But you know, it's a fantastic show, and I really enjoy it. And I can't, you know, I'll point people to things that I like you know, of course, Bug Zapper Radio, Best in Show when they decide to do shows. And Truth Time Theater. So what's going on, buddy?
Well, your story of the long dirt road and the shadowy figures, the Hills Have Eyes type situation.
Yes,
really was kicking up. I almost put it out of my memory, but this weekend, I basically, like, my whole income is based off my art sales here and there, online or in person, whatever I have in stock. And this is the time of year where I'm driving all over the goddamn place, bringing shit to God knows where just to, you know, make a few bucks. And was contacted through a site that my work is on to go take some of this shit out and it to someone's house. And it was relative of where I live. Fuck it, like, I spend most of my life out in this area, so I know it pretty well. I ended up almost in a identical situation of,
oh shit,
trying to find shit, trying to use the GPS, trying to basically like chisel away at the fucking mystery of where this fucking place was. And I ended up, like I said, I've lived in this area almost my entire life, and this, I had never seen this neck of the woods before. Stuck out in God knows where, and the kind of place where there were like three houses in a row that were more like little shanties.
Oh shit!
With just wall,
with the fire on the front porch.
Well, these are the places that I don't know if you have them out in Jersey, but out here, you run across a lot of fucked up places. It's like a building with basically an entire wall covered in license plates.
Yep. No, we call that town Ringwood here in New Jersey.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Okay. And I don't know. I still, to this day, 33 years on this fucking planet, haven't figured out why that happens. Who decides to do that or for what reason, but...
Siding is expensive. Stealing license plates is cheap.
Perhaps, yeah. Well, this is the kind of area where that was commonplace.
Okay.
And, also the kind of place where you see at least like six dead dogs on the side of the road.
Oh, Christ.
A horse out in the field with like its back was so sloped. I swear to God, it was, I don't need to go too deep into it. It was one of the most frightening looking.
So even the farm animals were like, inbred where you went?
No, just neglected. Like these old fucking slack spined horses that look like the letter U.
It was quite literally a U shape. Fucking withered legs are all rickety and just wonky. And it was
just wonky.
To say, fucked up. I'm off the fucking grid. Like, there's no actual location. It's just a blank screen with a little blinking red triangle.
Yeah, that's exactly what started happening on the fucking GPS. It was just like a green fucking polygon and my car on it.
Right.
You gotta start scanning the horizon for light and just drive towards the light.
Yeah.
This was me just constantly keeping an eye on the fucking gas gauge to make sure I had enough to hopefully get the fuck out.
Shit.
And so it was what in theory should have been about a 20-minute delivery and hopefully a several minute exit. And there's like 3 hours of me trying to find this place, driving around and I finally find the place, and like you had said, Steve, like people with fucking fires on their front porch. This guy has one of those outdoor fire pit things that you can just buy. It's just basically a big metal bowl on a stand, you know?
yeah, the egg.
And, and it's at the base of his porch steps, and it's right next to, like, a truck that he's been parting out for probably upwards of 20 years.
Wait, and what are you so delivering again?
Art. Artwork.
Just some of my paintings and whatnot.
Okay, all right.
Some of the people don't want to order online, so they contact me directly, and then, like an asshole, I get in the car. Oh,
I was just making sure you're not like delivering, you know, like cleaning to somebody. I missed the first part.
Yeah.
You know, I wouldn't even risking it at this point. But if it's your art,
if it's laundry, that shit is getting thrown in on the license plate house. The first dead dog I see, your work shirts are getting thrown on it. Fuck you.
Yeah, I could see.
You don't deserve this luxury. You live with dead animals next to your fucking license plate house. Fuck you.
All right, so go on. Yeah, you had the egg burning.
So the guy, you know, I mean, honest to God, like, it looks, it's, the place is, like, lost from fucking, it actually looks like it's in a very fucked up future. It honestly is like a scene from fucking, from like Mad Max, like Bartertown, you know?
Post-apocalyptic.
Yeah, it's fucking disastrous. And so I pull up and I'm thinking, oh Christ, I see like a little burning fire pit. I see this fucked up truck. There's just like the dirtiest chickens anyone has ever fucking raised. Just bombing around all over this place. So I get out of the
as if just having chickens isn't dirty enough. They're the dirtiest chickens you've ever seen.
So I get out of the car and I'm thinking like I'm gonna fucking walk up and this guy's gonna have like the fucking no shirt with the overalls with like one strap undone or sores or fucking boils or you name it, like and the most pleasant yet like eerily normal person I've ever met in my entire life comes out.
Norman Bates?
Very Norman Bates, dude, but but a little more horrifying.
Like, wow.
Norman Bates had that thing where like you knew he was fucked up because you were watching a movie and you're like, well, this guy's clearly a fucking asshole.
Yeah, this is going to be the guy because I'm watching a horror film. However, right, you're in real life and you're faced with the guy.
And you drove into a horror film.
Yeah, in real life, like especially out where I live, like running across normal people is not something that happens every day. So when you come across one, it's off-putting and it throws you a bit. But so this dude walks out and he's just a clean-cut, fucking normal-looking guy. Looks like, I don't even know why the fuck his house is such a goddamn disaster, but he's just the scariest dude because he's so not scary.
Yeah.
Transaction goes fine, whatever. We you know, he I give him the fucking stack of paintings. He raves about it in his questionably gay way.
So this guy's like Hannibal Lecter, pretty much.
A little bit. Yeah. Invites me in. I say, no, I don't think so. I got a lot of other stops to make, which is completely untrue. But
yeah.
What, you know, I just had to get the fuck out of there.
I was inspired by your street garbage, so I'm going to go set up a canvas and just paint your squalor.
I've taken a mental photograph of these alleged chickens, and I'm going to go lay out some wildlife now. It got a little too scary for me, and he invites me in, and I pass, and as I'm making my way to the car, and you've probably seen it in any number of fucked up movies where the guy is just standing there watching as you leave.
Yeah.
Like the entire way.
Ugh.
And knowing in my heart, I can't look back to see if he's looking at me.
The most difficult decision ever.
Because if I look back, I'm going to be looking down the barrel of a fucking 20 gauge or some shit. And I don't need that. It's not
just
something
keep moving.
Or worse,
like, or worse, you're not going to be looking at a gun, and you're just going to have that face burned into your fucking vision, and wonder when you're going to see it again next. That's for the rest of your life. So it's good that you didn't look back.
And it was awesome. And I swear to God, like all that was going through my mind was if I look back, I'm going to see a fucking shotgun. I'm gonna see this dude's dick, and I don't want to see either one of those things. I'm just gonna fucking go. And I get in the car, and as I get in, I see now that he hasn't moved an inch. He's just standing and fucking staring, and not even waving, like no movement at all at this point. Just a fucking wax statue, dude. And so I bail as quickly as I can without knocking over any of his fucking lean-tos and shit that he's got on his goddamn property. Takes me another 2 hours to find my way back because by now my fucking mind is just shot. But I couldn't even remember how I got there because I had just did that bullshit where you turn around and have to go back, or where you're driving in fucking circles like an asshole.
Yeah.
All over the goddamn place. Yep. I sort of know where it was now, so I know I'm never going. I hope to Christ I don't accidentally end up there somewhere. But I don't know. Your whole fucking odyssey to haunted hotel really brought that one back to life for me.
The thing was leaving. We had to actually leave that hotel at some point, and so we turned the GPS on, and I used my phone so that we could just see if one didn't work, then maybe the other one would. And we noticed that, it's actually taking us to, like, civilized roads out of it. That's really weird. Why did you fuck us? And so we're going out. I'm like, okay, it's gonna go. We're gonna get fucked up soon. You know, we're gonna have to do it. And I see a sign for the highway that we were on that we turned off of. I'm like, what the fuck? So we get on it, and we're like, this is it. This is the road out. What the fuck? Why didn't we just come up this way? And we drive down a little bit further, and we pass this huge entrance on the opposite side of the highway. And I look in the rear view, and it says entrance $25. And I realize I brought this GPS from New Jersey, where I always disable toll roads. So I fucking bypass the entrance with my avoidance of toll roads and jeopardized our lives by going on this fucking shitty fire road, whatever the fuck they called it, just because I turned off toll roads for using this to not have to go on the parkway and the turnpike when I just want to go 20 miles.
Jesus Christ.
But you saved $25, right?
You saved $25, and I would do it again.
Oh, there you go.
I would do it again. Absolutely.
Anytime you can fucking blow through a toll and not have to deal with that shit.
It wasn't exactly blowing through a toll, though. I mean, it was driving at my peril for 20 miles. But, in hindsight, not having to do it again, unless I really decide to ever go back, I would do it again in a heartbeat. Not having to do it again, of course.
Well, it is, I mean, definitely, I was listening to your tale of the fire and the shadow figures and the fucked up dirt roads. It's scary stuff, man. And like, you're only going to run across like the scariest of those things when you're obviously nowhere near home.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of shit is clearly not something that I can imagine you have a lot of in New Jersey, where you're just.
No, we don't.
We do.
We have
New Jersey. We have a whole magazine devoted to places like that.
Yeah, but the thing is, they're just like little doodad fucking spots. It's not like an entire area. It's places you have to go through throughout the state. Every state has a fucking weird whatever magazine. Because every state has their own little, check out the faces on the rocks. It looks like fucking the god Jupiter who sucked the dick.
But the original was New Jersey.
Who gives a shit? Nobody cares about weird New Jersey in fucking 2012. Nobody gives a shit about it. Oh, Clinton Road, listen for the ghosts! Shut up.
Yeah, there's a lot of that bullshit out in California. I'm further up, like between San Francisco and Humboldt County, kind of out in the that area, and it's when all the weird California books come out, they chronicle at least it's like a third of the book is just that I've actually
shit
that it is unfortunately part of like an everyday life here. It's a bizarre fucking place, but you know, yeah. What are you gonna do? But anyway, I'll let you guys go, man. I just wanted to finally call in.
Thank
and,
you,
absolutely. Yeah, thank you for calling in.
Much appreciated.
And definitely want to thank Clayton as well. He's pushing us on Bug Zapper, and
yeah, he's a good dude. We're doing
our best.
Hey, well, listen, thank you for pushing people our way too. I mean, we definitely have noticed that people are checking our show out. Because of you, and it's much appreciated. So we're gonna try to return the favor, and I believe we got some stuff
in the works as well that we'll get to. Yeah, well, thank you for calling in, buddy. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you, guys.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Steve, you know, San Francisco is a place I want to go.
Yeah, I'd like to go there.
I do want to check that out.
I want to see Seattle, San Francisco.
Seattle's nice. Apparently, all the major West Coast cities have a lot of homeless. And it's like and it's like not a big deal. They just part of the scenery.
Dude, when I went to Hollywood, there were tons
of
homeless
for the LARPing
people.
Convention?
Yep. Hmm. Yep.
I wonder how many of those were just pretend. They were there experiencing it as a part of the convention.
Trust me, those homeless people got no love from LARPers. That's pretty bad.
Yeah, I spoke with a couple people from San Francisco, and I said, you know, I really want to see your city, and you know, what are the obvious spots? Yeah, I want to see, but what are some of the things? He goes, well, you got to check out the Golden Gate Bridge. I'm like, well, isn't that one of the obvious things?
Like Alcatraz.
Yeah, and he goes, well, okay, check that out, Fisherman's Pier. I'm like, well, I've heard of that too. So, okay. Well, there's this homeless guy called the Bushman who jumps out and scares people. I'm like, really? Your fucking bulleted list has a homeless guy
as a number three.
Like number three is a homeless guy. How much homelessness is there in your city at the top? The number three fucking tourist trap is a homeless dude.
Yeah,
I'm still psyched to go though. Absolutely,
I would take the Alcatraz tour definitely.
Pissing in the bitch's eyes. Anyway, Steven, why don't we wrap this up? Why don't we do that?
Long show?
Yeah, it's been a little... It's not really that long, an hour. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
Well, Steve, thank you very, very much.
Thank you. Thank Clayton. Thank Sandwich Humor Jeff.
Yeah, I want to thank Clayton, Sandwich Humor Jeff, and also Hamwell Hawk for calling in from our Rocknet show. And also, hearustalk.com/Amazon. You guys have been supporting the shit out of that. And you guys are fucking killing it for us. Really doing a great job.
Spoil yourselves more.
Yeah. If you feel so inclined, please go to hearustalk.com/Amazon. Make a purchase from Amazon through our link. You'll get something. We get a small kickback. It helps us pay the bills. And, you know, it feels good when we're able to.
Merry Christmas to you.
And also, it feels good when we're able to, without having to do live reads for things that you might not necessarily like hearing about. I'm just saying, you know, not that some of the other things we did live reads for were bad products. It's just that they get a little repetitive. With this, it's just a link that we want you to go to so you can buy yourself whatever you want. We're promoting the fact that you like to buy yourself things. It's not like a specific chat room or a specific fucking, you know, shirt store or a mug.
Soda brand.
It's just you buy yourself or someone you love or someone you give a shit about something. And
whatever you want, whatever they want.
It helps us and it helps you just the same. Anyway.
Whatever you want.
Thank you very much. And Steve, what are we doing for next week? Next week is Christmas. Are we going to have anything for the listeners?
Is that Christmas Day? Oh, it is, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. This is Steve, actually, how he feels about the fucking listeners.
How many? Was there 1 week? We got 1 week?
This bit sucks. This is fucking unfunny. Punch out. Move on to the next bit. You know, fuck the listeners.
I don't think like that. I never think
so. So are we going to come up with something for them?
Yeah, we'll probably do it in the next hour.
That they're,
hour
they're gonna they're gonna be waiting for with bated breath on Christmas Day to listen to. What about
it.
The Jews, Steve? What about the Jews?
We could talk about them later.
You know what? The thing is, Steve, Chinese food is not the only thing Jews will have to do on Christmas Day. They'll have some form of entertainment from the DJ New Style Show, not necessarily live.
Yeah,
but something new.
New one, and
I'll figure out what that'll be. We just wrap this up. Bug Zapper Radio live tomorrow night on heroestalk.com. Be sure to check it out. Go to djnewstyleshow.com. Subscribe if you haven't already. Download everything we've ever done. Facebook.com/TheDJNewStyleShow. Let us know how we're doing. Oh, did we talk about something and you got a thing to say? That's where you say it. Thanks. Oh, shit. Yeah. Oh, and by the way, my dad's name is my name, so that was his excuse for tearing into my box of fruit that was addressed to my house. He's like, well, I mean, it was addressed to me. I'm like, yeah, but it's my fucking house. He's like, oh, well, they were good.
They were.
They ripped four of them out of there. I'm like, hey, did the grapefruits come? I call them. They're like, oh, yeah, yeah. Well, how do you know they came? It's like, oh, there's a big box. I'm like, you opened them, didn't you? Like, yeah. Anyway, very good. Thank you again, Clayton. Sandwich Humor Jeff, sandwichhumor.com, Truth Time Theater Podcast. Check it out. We'll see you guys. And if we don't, Merry Christmas. And if you're Jewish, get the chicken and broccoli. It's good.
Rock.